Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only thou be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all, to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
Thou goest. Precious Lord, we need strength.
Yes.
There's not a person in this room, there's not a person under the sound of my voice who don't need strength. Father, we ask right now that you hear our prayers, hear our songs, and give us the required strength to do what you've called us to do. Maybe give us strength, Father God, to deal whatever we're dealing with right now, because we're all going through. We're only here. I heard this old folks used to say we're just pilgrims passing through. Give us the strength to pass through. Father, thank you for strength in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, just going back a little bit, we've seen in lesson one, God is the giver. God called Joshua to do a great task. And maybe we missed it. Maybe somebody said, well, I can't ask. It's not Wednesday night. It's not Sunday school. So I can't ask. But what is the great task that God called Joshua to do? Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. God had made a promise to the great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And God is calling Joshua to finish the job that Moses started. He says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, promised land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. It's a big task. Joshua had a big task. So I don't want nobody to think, well, you know, anybody could have done what Joshua done. No, God was calling Joshua to do something that only God was going to give Joshua the strength to do. So we've seen in the first lesson of this series, God gave him power. Okay? God gave Joshua power. And you know God gives us power. Okay? The lessons found in Joshua applies to us. God gave Joshua power to do what he called him to do. And God's going to give us power to do what he's called us to do. Okay? I quoted 1 Thessalonians 1:5. I love this verse. The more time I go back and look at it, here it goes. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. How about that? but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So if you're saved, you got power. No reason to think that you don't have power. If God has asked you to do something, called you to do something, you can best believe he's going to empower you to do it. Then he gives you knowledge. Knowledge is power. I say that all the time. Knowledge is power. Okay? So in 2 Corinthians 8:7, here we see this knowledge. God wants us to abound in knowledge. How do we get knowledge? We got something this morning. Every time you open up the scriptures, whether you're at home in your private devotions, whether you're listening to it on the radio, maybe you listen to songs where the gospel is being sang, you're getting power. You're getting power. Paul wrote this. He says in 2 Corinthians 8:7, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So knowledge is a grace. Knowledge is something that we should desire. Knowledge is evidence. Your seeking knowledge is evidence of salvation. You tell me a person who's not seeking knowledge, biblical knowledge, not seeking to grow and be stronger in the Word of God, then I got a hard time. You got to grow in knowledge. And the only way you're going to grow in anything, you got to consume it. And you got to get under it, and you got to press it, and you got to squeeze it. And for the most part, I think we do well in that, seeking knowledge, seeking knowledge. Now, what is wisdom? You can have power and knowledge. Wisdom is how you apply that power, how you apply that knowledge. And we ought to seek wisdom. We can't stand before the Lord without wisdom. We can't stand before the Lord without godly wisdom. And you're going to sit there and stand before them and say, I mean, I had knowledge and I had truth, but I didn't know how to apply it. God's going to say, listen. James, the book of James, chapter 1, he says, if any of you, how about that, lack wisdom, okay, let him ask of God. How about that? You lack wisdom? I don't know how to apply the truths of God's word. I don't know how to use them properly. Ask God. Ask God. Isn't that nothing wrong when you're going through a situation, you got a big decision to make, or you're getting ready to do something that's major, you say, God, guide me through this. Or put it like this. What does the word say about this? How about that? Say you, hypothetically. You have an argument, you're fighting with your wife, and you say, you know what, I'm getting out of this marriage. What does the word of God say about it? How about that? Mm-hmm. Put some word on whatever. God's word answers every issue of life. God's word will answer every issue of life. Now, it might not answer like you want it. Okay? But it answered.
Amen.
You will be without excuse. Ask God for wisdom. He has to give it to you. Patience. Jeremy was reading. He was reading Psalms. I think it was 27 today. But it talks about being patient. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say wait. Wait means, God, give me patience to wait. You need patience to wait. Waiting is patience. So you dealing with something. You got this war going on in your soul. You got this war going on in your spirit. And you're not ready to deal with it. God has not cleared you to deal with it. Ask God, give me power to deal with it. Why wait? That verse, said it again. This'll be the third week in a row. I hit you with Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience. I know I do. That after you have done the will of God. That's such a beautiful verse. After you've done the will of God, you can't do the will of God without patience. You can't deal with people without patience. You can't deal with life without patience. He said, after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Study that verse on your own. That's a great verse. That's a great verse. Then we talked about God's promises. God's promises never fade away. There's not a promise God made in the Bible that he is not going to fulfill. He wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be God. But then I thought about this verse. A lot of times when I go back and review some of this stuff, I see some things in verses. Y'all know how it is because we deal with this. But in Romans 8:28, in Romans 8:28, I want you to see power, knowledge, patience, and wisdom all in this verse. All in this verse. And I said it last week, Paul is writing to believers. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Let me see if you see this. Okay. Now, I said last week that the love of God is the foundation of Christianity. Okay. You don't love God, you ain't saved, period. Okay. Just, you don't get around that. Okay?
Amen.
But when I say I see power and knowledge and patience in this verse, listen. All things work together for good to them that love God. Okay? Let me tell you something. If you love God, you have power, you have knowledge, you have patience, and you have wisdom. And even if you don't have it all the way, 100% all of them, you seeking that. Those who love God, people say, well, how do I know if I love God or not? Here's how you know. You seeking power, knowledge, patience, and wisdom. You want all the attributes of God. You want them all working through you. Okay? You want to emulate Jesus. You want to be like Jesus. So you want all that knowledge. You want that power. You want that patience. You want to be able to quote some scriptures. You want to be able to use them scriptures. You want to be able to work them scriptures into your life. And I told you I was talking to the Muslim inmates. They're doing their Ramadan, and man, they got some serious issues, serious anger issues. Okay, I was telling the imams, you know, you guys anger them Baptist folks. Okay, they're angry, and I would tell some of the brothers, I say, listen, and all you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God, you still got to glorify God. You still got to glorify God. Okay? I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care how bad somebody treats you. Your response has to glorify God. Because folks is watching. And your testimony has to be one that, you know what, I dealt with that thing, and I just prayed that I gave God glory in it. But that's got to be the end result of when you walk away from that situation and you say, well, you know what? I gave God glory in how I handled that. I gave God glory. Well, if that's not your answer, you got to go back and do some apologizing. You do. You do. God always raises up leaders. Here's Joshua. Joshua's being raised up as a leader. He got a great call. He's got a great call. And he's going to do it. And he can't do it. You know, we talk about that word apathy. Y'all heard that word before? You know, so many people lack of motivation, uninterested in anything. No money, unmotivated. I don't care what you're doing in life. If you ain't excited about doing it, you ain't happy about doing it. You know, if you can't say like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Y'all watch Blanche walk in here this morning. Okay? She wasn't feeling it. Okay? She wasn't feeling it. And she got here. And you know what? She's glad to be here.
Amen.
She's glad to be here. Amen. You know, I'm glad to be here. You know? I work on midnight shift on Saturday night, you know, and I get up on a Sunday morning, and I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. And I feel good. I feel good when I'm in church. And I may drag, I may not be feeling it when I'm, you know, I may not be feeling it. I don't have it. I can't tell Sydney. I can't say, Sydney, I don't feel it. I don't feel like going to church today. Even if I could. You know what I do? I don't let my feelings control me.
Amen.
I don't, because you know what? Honestly, I wouldn't feel like doing nothing. Okay. If it's up to me, I don't feel like going to the gym today. I don't feel like getting up at 4 o'clock, being in the gym at 4:30. I don't feel like it. I wouldn't be doing nothing. Amen. Especially when I know I got to go in there and I know what I got to do. So feelings. What's that song? Feelings. You know, we live in a world now that they want us to be controlled by feelings.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about feelings. Man, your feelings is tricky.
Amen.
They ain't to be trusted.
Amen.
Okay? Because I don't know, maybe, what Jake say, well, you know, I don't feel like being a father today. I'm pretty sure the devil put them thoughts in his mind. You know, I'm going to, I don't know. You know, y'all was praying. We was praying to have one kid. I got four. Feel like being a father all the time. You know, I don't feel like being a husband all the time. I don't feel like being, you know. Ain't no breaks. Yeah. Ain't no breaks in serving the Lord. And this is what God is telling Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, ain't no breaks. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. That's right. He said, Joshua, ain't no shortcuts. Ain't no shortcuts. Only be strong and of good courage. Listen. I can talk all day about strength. Because, you know, all I got to do is give me some Bible verses on strength. King James Version. That's what I hit when I hit the computer. Give me some King James Version Bibles. Bible verses on strength. You know, here's one came up. For God so loved the world. This one came up under strength.
Wow.
Okay? This one came up under strength. And now when it come up, it don't get, when they give me the verse, it don't explain it. It just say this is a verse about strength. See if y'all get it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where's strength at in there? Is it all over? It's all over. It's all over. Because it takes strength to continue to believe when the whole world is living in unbelief. And you're going to stay believing. If you're going to stay believing in a way that you should not perish, it takes strength. You got to be strong. You got to be strong to persevere. Okay? And said, I don't know if I got the strength to do it. Listen, you got it. You got it. You either got it or you don't. Okay? It's hard, but it's fair. You either got it or you don't. If you don't got it, you're going to perish. And if you got it, you're going to endure to the end. You're going to endure to the end. Ain't no stopping now. Here's another one. See if you see strength in this. Beloved, 1 John 4:1. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Let me tell you something. It takes strength not to be lazy when you discern in the scriptures. Because it's easy to, well, you know somebody wrong. You ever know somebody wrong? And instead of you standing on the word of God, you just say, well, you know. No, it takes strength to try the spirits. How about that? It takes strength to stand for God in a wicked world. To call somebody out. Say, that's wrong. We don't like doing that. I'll just let them go. I'll let them just go on and die and go to hell. No, call them out. Call them out. Try the spirits. Test them. Because when you test them, you test yourself. Okay? And if you let error control you, then you're just as guilty as that person who's teaching the error. Call them out. Look at Jeremiah 1:5. Great verse. Strength all over this one. Strength all over this one. Because God called Jeremiah. He said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, he said, Jeremiah, Before I formed thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Okay? And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had empowered Jeremiah while he was still in the womb. He said, I knew you. I knew I had plans for you. I knew what I needed. I knew what you was going to need to perform the ministry that I called you to. Okay? And then I sanctified you. Let me tell you something. I tell you all the time, being sanctified don't mean don't wear no lipstick. Okay? Being sanctified don't mean wear blue jean dresses all the time. Okay? Being sanctified means you are living a separated life. Let me tell you something. It takes strength to do that. Mm-hmm. It takes strength to do that. I was talking to the person. I said, oh, they used to call going to the bar spirits. Then they called them bars. And you know what they call them now? Smooth you. Wineries. We're not at the bar. We're at the winery. Folk get drunk on wine. Okay? And so I talked to a lot of Christians. Hey, well, ain't nothing wrong going to the winery. Jesus made wine. Okay. You know, that's between you and Jesus. Okay? Here we go. I'm going to leave that alone. Because I got so much. Here's some strength. How many know how much strength it took for the snail to reach the ark? Think about that. That's perseverance. So perseverance is sort of like strength. That snail had, two snails had to get on that ark. I was talking to a guy. He tell me, well, he say, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in I don't believe in Noah's Ark, and I don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And he tell me, I said, you don't believe, you're not a Christian. Amen. See, and I have to call him out. And he'll still come to me every time he see me. He in the class. He one of the reasons why I don't want to stay in Columbus for 3 weeks. God, do you hear me? Because he gonna worry me to death. Maybe he'll worry me till he gets saved. Because he keep coming. He keep coming. Trying to convince me that he's right, and I have to constantly correct him. He said, hey, man, and my wife got a covenant marriage. I said, no, y'all shacking up. He said, no, we marriage license, and I said, no, you're just shacking up, okay? Okay? The Bible talks about marriage. Say, husband, love your wives. Then say, husband, love the woman you shacking up with. Okay? Not that you shouldn't love her if you're shacking up with her. You should love her, but, you know, I'm just telling you what the Word of God. See, that's the process. So I got to process everything through the Word of God. Okay? See, being weak ain't the issue. Okay? Being weak ain't the issue. You know what the issue is? Knowing that you're weak and not addressing it.
Amen.
I haven't been strong all my life. But I'm constantly evaluating the process. I'm constantly asking God to give me strength where I'm weak at. And it's a process. Okay? I don't want to stay weak. Okay? I want to stay weak. I want to be stronger and stronger. What's our scripture? Though the outward man perish. Okay? The inward man is renewed day by day. I believe when you reach your 50s and 60s, I believe you are the very best mentally that you're ever going to be. Seriously, 50s, 60s, and 70s. I think you got wisdom. I think you've been through a lot of stuff. You done dealt with a lot of stuff. You know, and I got 40 years of marriage. You know what they doing with the young people? That's gangster. That's gangster. That's a gangster. 40 years, man. You OG. Seriously, I tell people, I'm in this class. They go going around telling me something about you. Got to tell everybody something about you. And y'all know I don't like that. I don't like telling people about me. Okay? But I have to do it. Because they say, you got to participate. And I say, I've been married 40 years. Oh, that's gangster. But you know what else it is? It gives somebody, it gives Jake hope.
Amen.
It gives Jeremy hope. Okay. Columbus. Look at him. Pastor been married 40 years. How long you been married? 17. Amen. You ain't no OG. Listen. Let me say it. Again, being weak is an issue. Refusing to address your weakness. All of us know where we're weak at. And I ain't trying to get nobody's business, okay? But you got to train your mind to be stronger than your weakness. You got to train your mind to be stronger than your feelings because we get in our feelings. I know, Cindy, I know what you're thinking. Who are you to talk? You're always in your feelings. I'm not a... Y'all know, see what a lot of preachers' wives don't come to church. They say, I ain't trying to hear that. That dude talking about in the feelings. He always in his feelings. See, that's what she say about me and Krina. She say, me and Krina. She say, you and Krina always in y'all feelings. We got the same DNA. We ain't always in our feelings. We just who we are. We just unique individuals.
Ain't no feelings.
Krina would dap me up. We just unique. We don't always want to be bothered. Wow. Okay. Let's keep going. Can I give you one more?
Amen.
One more on strength that you don't always see. But God is calling Joshua to be strong. And he said, only be strong. And that's what God's calling us. Only be strong. He said, Margaret, only be strong. Okay? Because we got some more races to run. Somebody was saying perseverance is not a long race. Perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after another. How many of us can relate to that? One after another. And everybody in here, we got something waiting for us. We got another race to run. And then another little race to run. And then another little race to run. We're going to run all these little races till we get to heaven. It ain't no long race, little ones. Little ones. Satan come at a little, get your break every once in a while, and then another one. I said I was going to give you one more verse that doesn't, you don't see strength in it, but it's all about strength, okay? Here's Paul in Romans 8:18. Watch this. I got a bunch of them. He said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul said, you suffer right now because when you're suffering over as a believer, it's not going to even compare. You hear me, Blanche? It's not going to compare with the glory that awaits us in heaven. I hear people all day work, come suffering. Listen, I don't care who you are. You can suffer. Let me exercise that. Say this right. You can suffer being a nobody, or you can suffer being a somebody. Let me tell you something. You're going to suffer. Suffering is part of it. You can suffer being great. You can suffer being weak. I tell people all the time, but that's my greatest fear. My greatest fear is just being weak and ineffective and not being used by God. That's scary. Mm-hmm. That's scary. To be useless. I'm going to move on. Get in my feelings. And then I get in my feelings. Joshua 7. 1, 7, and 8. Last two. I'm going to close this out. That's been interesting to me. Maybe it's just for me. If y'all ain't getting nothing out of it, just say, Pastor, just preach it to himself for a little while. Just hang in there with me. Let me preach to myself for a little while because, I struggle with being strong. I want to be strong as I can be. Okay? And I just believe you can't be strong. You can't be great for God in your feelings. You can't. Because you're not gonna feel like doing this. You're not gonna feel like doing this. And God knew Joshua wasn't gonna always feel like this doing this. He said, Joshua, I know you ain't gonna always feel like doing it. I know you're not gonna always feel like doing it, but here's what he says to Joshua in verses 7 and 8. See if y'all see it. He says, now only be strong and very courageous. Well, this is the third time God is telling Joshua to be strong and very courageous, or the second time. He says, why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded. Turn not from the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou doest or thou goest. Why did God say that to Joshua? Because he knows us. He's omniscient. He knows if we can take a shortcut, if we can find an easier way to do it, we're going to do it. And he said, Joshua, don't be that way. Don't be that way. Be the man of God and stay on it. Don't turn to the right or don't turn to the left. Y'all remember Pastor Warren said when he came here and did my installation service, he said, listen, don't preach what you wanted to say. Don't preach what you think it should say. That's mean. Don't turn to the right or turn to the left. Preach what it say. Preach the word. So many preachers today are turning. They're turning because they're people pleasers. And they don't want to upset the people on the right. They don't want to upset the people on the left. They turn, they juice it all up so nobody will leave offended. And they'll come back. A lot of people will be offended if you stay on it, Joshua. And God said, don't turn. He says in verse 8, boy, one of the preachers did this. We wouldn't be the only small church in town. If most preachers just open up the book and preach it, you know, there'd people be running for the exits. They'd be running for the exits. You think they was running at Joel Osteen Church and they start shooting down there? They'd be running. They'd be running to the exit. They'd be running. Man, what's wrong? This book, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen, let me give you 7 things. All wisdom comes from the word of God. All wisdom comes from the word of God. He is the source. He is the source of all answers and all truth. All truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. Mm-hmm. So when you got a debate with somebody over the scriptures, listen, find out what God say on it and stay on it. This is what God said. God said it. That settles it. Okay? Without his word in our lives, we will be lost. We will be lost. And without God's word in the believer's life, we'll be lost. We'll be lost. Know why? Because we do whatever we want to do. We do whatever makes us happy. Whatever makes us feel good, we would do without the word. The word keeps us on the straight and narrow. Okay? You can argue with me all day. I love debating with you guys. But you can't argue with that word. When I give you truth, you can argue with it if you want to. Okay? Still true. I ain't mad. You don't agree with me. You know, that's one thing. But if the word of God is clear, then that's another thing. God's word is a map of who we are called to be and what we are called to do. God found it in the word. Okay? Because I don't know what the will of God, what the will of God is for my life. No, be sanctified. Be holy. Okay? Love one another. Paul wrote from prison, and he said, I, Paul, prisoner of Rome, I beseech you to walk worthy in all lowliness and meekness and forbearing love for one another. You want to know what the will of God is? Walk in meekness. Walk in lowliness. Here's one. Don't let the word of God depart from the way you talk. How about that? How about that? That's just stood out like a sore thumb. Don't let the word of God depart from the way you talk. I thought about that all week when I was talking to them dudes at Ramadan, man. I thought they was going to jump on the iman. I was like, dude, they going to jump on you about their food. They just got into their flesh. Don't let the word of God depart from the way you talk to folks. That's a good one, ain't it? It ain't easy, but don't let the word of God. He was saying, Joshua, don't let the word of God depart from the way you talk to folks. Think about his word at all times. I know there's a verse to go with that. Okay. I can't think of it right now. Meditate on his word day and night. Okay. Think about his word at all the time. I think of Psalms 1 would fit that description. Okay, be careful to do everything written in it, not just some of it. That's my buddy. He won't do some of it. Listen, let me tell you something. I was saying this morning, Sylvia and I, we gonna battle the next 3-4 weeks, and me and her gonna battle. But that's cool. I like debating over the Word of God. But I'm gonna tell you something. If you don't believe that God is that Jesus is God, I don't have a problem with your salvation. Okay, if you tell me. If you when you go to college, you get a doctorate degree, you got to write a dissertation. And that dissertation is public knowledge. Okay? You want to find out what I wrote? Just call Edisonville. They'll give you a copy of it. I don't know if they give you a copy of it. They probably tell you you got to pay $20 for it. But you know what I believe about a certain subject. Okay? So if you write a dissertation and you say, I don't believe in the virgin birth, and I don't believe in the resurrection, and I don't believe that Jesus is God, something wrong. Okay? And you can be the greatest preacher in the world, but if you don't believe that, you ain't getting to heaven. You ain't getting to heaven. Okay? So, be careful. Here we go. God's word. This is a good one for me. God's word is a map of who we are called to be and what we are called to do. Let me say that again. Mm-hmm. God's word is a map of who we are called to be and what we are called to do. God's word. God's word will define who we are and what we ought to be doing. Somebody say, put a verse on. I got a verse. This is a great verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Watch this. Now remember the question. God's word is a map of who we are called to be and what we are called to do. Now watch this. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, who had all kinds of questions about how they ought to live now that they're saved. Because they weren't saved. They turned to God from idols. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. They turned from God to idols. And now they're asking God, Paul, questions. And Paul says this to that question. They may say, Paul, how are we to live now that we're Christians? Okay. He says this. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, okay, you received it not as the word of man. That's important. But as it is truth. The word of God. And then he says this, which is huge, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What's Paul doing? Some separating there. He's saying, if you a child of God, if you've been born again, if you are saved, if you believe the gospel that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose on the third day, and ascended into heaven, he says, the word of God effectually worketh also in you. You got the word of God working in you. You got to know that. You got to have the word of God working in you. So what would that look like? What would it look like to have the word of God working in you? Okay. Here's what it looked like. I just covered it. Without his word in our life, we'd be lost. Okay. Don't let the word of God depart from the way you talk. It's going to change the way you talk. It's going to change the way you walk. It's going to change the way you act. It's going to change all everything about you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, meaning if any man have the word of God effectually working in him, you're a new creature. You're going to be a new creature. Stuff going to start happening to you that you don't even plan. Your attitude's going to change. Your desire's going to change. A lot of stuff going to change. Why? Because you got something different working in you before you got saved. Before you got saved, you had a devil working in you. I shouldn't say that. You didn't have the Holy Ghost. You was evil and wicked. You might have been nice, evil, and wicked. I can't imagine Blanche ever being evil and wicked, but before she would say she was. Okay? Probably at the flea market cussing them people out. Then she got saved. And she was nice to people. See? You're going to change. You're going to change. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. They're going through the same thing. He says in Ephesians 6:17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. How about that? How about that? Protect your mind. Protect your brain. Protect what you allow into your ear gates and your eye gates. Protect what you listen to. Protect what you watch. You know, all that stuff is working on you. All that stuff is influencing you. I had a question. A guy, church man in Sydney got put out years ago. I had this question. He said, I don't go to bars. I don't go to bars. And I was young, but that don't mean I was wrong. I was just thinking young, okay? I was a young believer. So I said to this guy, who was a big shot in the church, I said, well, if you at home watching TV and it's a bar scene, you in a bar. That's how I thought. And I still think that way. I believe if you at home watching people doing bar stuff, you just like there. I think this one sitcom was based on people living in bars and in bars all day. I forget the name of it. Cheers. How about that? See, I knew. I ain't never watched that. I don't know. People ask me all the time, well, you know, in this movie, listen, bro, I ain't got time to watch no movies. Okay, I ain't got 3 hours sitting doing nothing. Okay, I ain't never made no money watching movies. Okay, that's just me. I ain't never made money, but I ain't never made a dime watching a movie. Okay, how much they pay you to watch that? No, I gotta pay to watch it. Wow, that's different. Ooh, you mean you paying to watch that? I know I'm meddling. Last verse, I'm done with Joshua. I wish I wasn't. Hi, Maya, I love you. Have I not commanded thee? Here we go. One more time, Joshua. One more time to all of us in here. One more time to all of us in here. Third times. Three in the Bible. Three in the Bible meant completion, perfection. It meant something important. Three in the Bible didn't mean something bad. Okay? A lot of threes in the Bible. But here, Joshua is told three times by God to be strong. So that means something. He says again, closing out on Joshua 9. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Meaning anybody in this room, meaning anybody on Facebook, meaning anybody listening on Sermon Al, stuff coming at you. Amen. Stuff coming at you, and if God has asked you to do something, has caused you to do something, you immediately, Satan's going to come at you and say, did God really say that? Like he did Eve? Did God really say that? No. See, if he called you to do something good and great for God, listen, you better be strong and have good courage, because somebody will talk you out of your dream. Someone will talk you out of what God has called you to do. Okay? Cindy and I was talking on the way to church this morning. You know, we talking about Ray and sometimes you just gotta keep your dreams to yourself. You can't tell everybody all your business. Some folks just talk too much. Okay? So Ray went to the fire station, told some of the guys at the fire station, hey, I got a job at the prison, you know, and I'm going to be working 12 hours a day, 16 hours, and mandatory, and I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to pay all my bills and take care of my baby and all that. And you know somebody told him? Broke as Ray is. You know what somebody told him? Well, that ain't no good job. Let me tell you something. Keep your dreams to yourself. Sometimes you got to keep your mouth shut. Okay? Okay? Because you know what you got to do. You know what you got to do. Okay? And when opportunities come, you got to keep that circle small. Because everybody ain't in your corner. There's more people. A lot of people want you to fail. Okay? A lot of people want you to fail. Y'all, that's why I say pray for Ray. Pray for Ray. Keep him in prayer. Have I not commanded you? Me, you, all of us in here. Be strong. That's a command. We are commanded by the word of God to be strong and of good courage. Okay? And be not afraid. Okay? Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No matter. If God has called you to go there, go there. Go there with confidence. Go there in good courage. Go there and be strong. Because God's going to be with you.
Amen.
I'm living proof of that. I'm living proof of that. I listen to horror stories. I say, God been with me. God been with me for a long time. And I thank God for that. And you know, I wrote John Joshua 1:10. How many recognize in the first 9 verses, Joshua never said a word. He never said a word. God did all the talking. Joshua didn't raise his hand. Joshua didn't say, well, hold on. No, God spoke and Joshua listened. He listened. And when God was done speaking, here was Joshua's, here's what Joshua did. Joshua 1:10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Okay? He commanded. You know what he commanded them? We getting ready to cross the Jordan at the highest time of the year. How about that? Ain't nobody crossing the Jordan at the highest time of the year. God told Joshua to do it. God said it. That settles it. Precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you. We need the courage and the strength that you gave Joshua. And we may not have a task as big as the one you gave Joshua, but we need courage and strength to do the little things that you called us to do. We need strength to do the little things that you called us to do. Maybe just testifying. Maybe just telling somebody about Jesus. Maybe just talking to someone about the gospel message of Christ. It takes strength to do that.
Amen.
Father, we ask for that strength. We ask for courage, wisdom, power, patience, love, peace, mercy, grace, forgiveness, and a thankful heart. Father, all these things we ask in Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
Amen. Amen.